King Jesus, we are just absolutely in awe of just how amazing you are. Lord, you are such a God of love and of grace and compassion. You are a God of mercy and hope. And Father, even when life seems so overwhelming, even when it seems that we cannot even raise our head off the pillow in the morning, Father, you are there to give us what we need to carry on. Lord, you meet us where we are. And Father, that is one of the reasons why I am so convinced that you have given us the church, that we can go and meet people where they are. And Lord, whatever is weighing them down, whatever their burden may be, Lord, your message of hope and love is able to cut through all of that and reach into the hardest of hearts, the darkest of spirits, and bring hope and light. And so, Father, that's what you did for each one of us. Because, Lord, your word makes it clear that, Father, when we are separated from you by sin, we are your enemies. But, Lord, you reached through that to reach us. And so, Father, may that be what we as a church make our mission. And Lord, I'm so grateful to be a part of a body that takes that mission seriously. And this morning, Lord, we come to celebrate you. We come to acknowledge how much we need you. And Father, we also come this morning to celebrate the birth of this new life. We thank you, Father, for this child coming into this world and bringing so much joy. We pray for Morgan and Michael, Lord, that you will just, Lord, groom them and use them to be the parents they need to be for this precious child. And Lord, may we as a church family, Lord, may we love on this child and do what the church is supposed to be in helping the parents. Lord, we at this morning also are very grateful for every answered prayer. And Lord, we know that we pray this morning for Daryl and his family, the passing of his wife. I pray, Lord, that you will just comfort him and strengthen him. And Lord, even amongst our body here, we've got some that are struggling, Lord, with physical sickness. Lord, some that are struggling emotionally, some that are struggling financially. But Lord, we're just praying that you'll meet those needs where they are. Lord, thank you for the time that we have at this altar. And I pray, Lord, that when we rise to our feet, that, Lord, we will leave whatever burdens we brought lying there at the foot of the cross. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 19. Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, was presented to the world when John the Baptist saw him when he was down at the Jordan baptizing, and he saw Jesus coming at a distance, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." That's how he was introduced to the world as he began his ministry. Now, when we come to the end of his ministry, the final introduction, the final presentation of Jesus to the world is in the form of the signboard that was placed above him that said, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Pilate made this presentation of the king. As the Pharisees and the high priest and the Jews had been clamoring for Jesus to be crucified, as they've been just begging, pleading for him to be put to death, Pilate decided in an act of defiance, in an act of, I guess in one sense, trying to just get a swipe in at the Jews because he hated the Jews. He decided to just get this final stab in at them by taking this jab at Jesus. And what he didn't realize is how true his statement was. Because remember, the Pharisees and the Jews were upset at Jesus because he had made himself to be the Son of God. And now they were trying to use that as an excuse to have him put to death. And so Pilate, at the last moment, just before they hung Jesus on the cross, they made this sign. Now, a couple of things interesting here. Number one, it was very common in those days when someone was going to be put to death that the person that was being put to death sometimes would have to actually carry a little placard in front of him as he marched on his way to death that had what he was being killed for, what he was being put to death for, what the charge was. And so that was very traditional. If they didn't carry it and they were going to be crucified, oftentimes they would nail it, just like this signboard, they would nail it to the top of the cross above them so that when people came by, they would know why this person was being killed. So it was a common tradition of that day for them to do this. But we know from the text that that was not the purpose behind what Pilate did. Pilate was doing it to make a statement, to make a point to these Jews, and it was his way of getting back at them. But in that moment, Pilate also did something else. He had it written in three different languages. Now, I started to do that. I have the ability to have actually written it in the three languages that it was written in, but I chose just to put it in the English, but it was actually written in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. Some say, some of the texts say that it was actually written in Aramaic, but whatever the case may be, it was written in those three languages, but it was for a very important purpose. Each of these three languages were the three great common languages of the world of that day. Each of them represented actually an era of history. When it was written in the Greek, it was the language of culture and science. It was the language of the men of letters. And so providence, I believe God himself was proclaiming that Jesus Christ was king over culture. Latin was the official language of civil law and politics, of government. And so I think that this was God's way of letting even the Roman Empire know that Jesus Christ was the true king, not Caesar. And then Latin was the official language, Hebrew was the national language of Palestine. And so it was the language of revealed religion, and so it was the language of the law and the prophets, and so this was God's way of saying, here is Jesus who is king over religion. Now, something else that was very interesting, because sometimes we get a misrepresentation when we view the films and the videos and the presentations that they often make of the crucifixion scene, and you'll see Jesus and the other two crosses up on a hill, and it looks like they're off at a distance. But in reality, that cross would have been like right here, and this would have been the main highway that was going right by it. And so that when people walked right by, they were forced to see what was taking place. And that was an attempt to let them know, watch out, this could be you. But God had another plan in mind. Because when the people walked by that day and they saw that up there, and they saw up on the sign, and they could read it in their own language depending on where they were from, this was letting them know that this was not a common, everyday, ordinary criminal that was being put to death. But something interesting happened around the presentation of this signboard, and that's going to be the gist of our message today. And that is that there was a great controversy that broke out over this signboard. We'll read it in the text here in just a moment, but when Pilate made this signboard, and when he had it placed upon the cross of Jesus, the Pharisees and all the Jews became extremely upset over this. And it caused an incredible controversy to break out. In fact, when you read all four gospel accounts, you find out that there's a little bit of difference in all of them. For instance, Matthew and Mark called it an accusation. In other words, they said that when it was put up there, that they were accusing Jesus of being king of the Jews. When you read Luke's account of it, it's called an inscription or a superscription. In other words, It's just given up there as a presentation of him and doesn't really mean much. But John calls it a title. And when John calls it a title, he then proceeds to let us know that the Jews didn't like this. And it caused a great controversy to break out. He's writing for the entire world to read this. And in fact, John is the only one that lets us know that it caused this controversy. And John is the one that gives us to let us know that it was written in all of these languages so that we would know that this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, that there's no contradiction, that there's no misunderstanding here, that this was his being presented to the world as the King of the Jews. And as we think about this signboard this morning, I want to focus on this controversy and what it means for us, because it's going to teach us, I hope you will see it as clearly as I do, it's going to teach us an amazing lesson from this little sign that we sometimes just skip over in reading the text. It meant something. The events that happened around the cross are not there by accident. They're not there just as space filler, because John or Matthew or Mark or Luke needed to put in a little more information other than, and they killed him. God had this put there for a specific purpose. And I really believe this morning that as we look at this and as we break this down, there's somebody sitting here this morning that needs this signboard in their life. Because it's going to mean something to you by the time we get to the end of this hour. In honor of God's Word, I invite you to stand with me. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 17. It says, "Then they took Jesus away," verse 17, "carrying the cross by himself. He went out to what is called Place of the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side with Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had a sign made and put on the cross, and it said, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' Many of the Jews read this sign because of the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Don't write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews.' Pilate replied, 'What I have written, I have written.'" Father, may you add to the reading of your amazing word. And Father, I pray that in the next few moments that, Lord, you will hide me behind the cross, Lord. Father, this morning, this is a task far greater than I'm capable. And so, Lord, I just pray that you will fill me with your Spirit. And that, Lord, you will place your words upon my lips, that they will reach the ears and the minds and the hearts of those gathered here this morning. Lord, there is a valuable lesson to be found in this signboard this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you will meet each one of us right where our point of need is. That, Lord, above all, we this morning will see Jesus. And it is in his name that we do pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. And so I want to give you what I think are the meanings of the cross this morning from three different aspects. Number one, it lets us know that the meaning of the cross is controversial. Now, it is John alone who tells us that this controversy broke out between the religious leaders and Pontius Pilate. The cross and the message of the cross are very controversial. When Jesus was crucified, there were hundreds of thousands of Jews from all over the Roman Empire that had made their way to Jerusalem to observe the feast of the Passover. The high priest and the chief priest and the official rulers of the Jewish people had engineered this situation just as it is so that they then could make a point in putting Jesus to death. I want you to imagine what it must have been like, what the sadistic pleasure these people had to have, that they could despise and hate someone so much as Jesus to do what they did to him. And I have a feeling that they actually were looking forward to this. They were looking forward. You know, in fact, crucifixion was something that was greatly despised, and it was something that was greatly horrific to the Jewish people. But yet, this is exactly what they wanted to happen to Jesus. So this lets you know how much hatred and animosity they had for him. And at the last moment, one of the things that sticks out to me is they're going back and forth with Pilate. And Pilate has had enough. I mean, he has tried three separate times to let Jesus be released. Because he kept coming and saying, I can't find anything wrong with him. I find no charges. In fact, he says, I find no guilt in this man. And as an effort to appease them, last week we talked about him having Jesus flogged, you know, beaten within an inch of his life. He did that. And I imagine that when he had Jesus brought out, in his mind he was thinking, maybe this will move them enough that they'll have pity on him and I can get out of this. But that didn't work. And so they insisted that Jesus be crucified. And so what Pilate did is he said, okay, I'll get you. Here is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And so they come back to Pilate and they say, wait a minute, Pilate, that's not true. He's not the King of the Jews. In fact, remember, they said, we have no king but Caesar. Right on there that he said he was King of the Jews. And Pilate responds to them very quickly by just saying, what I have written, I have written. This sign that is placed upon the cross is not some trivial sign. It is something that is making a statement not only to those that were there in the first century that were witnessing what was taking place there, but it is something that has passed on and carried on until the moment you are sitting here this morning. And here's what I want you to get from this. When Pilate wrote this, he said, what I have written, I have written. Now what was it that he wrote? He wrote that this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The way that he wrote this is very interesting. We don't pick it up in the English. But in the language of the day, and let's just say the Hebrew, he wrote it in the present tense. In other words, he wrote it as if it was just continuing on. You know, it's just like if I was to start walking down this aisle, I say, I am walking down this aisle, I'm writing that, I'm stating that, I'm writing that in the present tense. It's an action that is taking place. So think about reading those words 2,000 years later in the present tense. That is telling us that not only as he hung on the cross that day that this was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, that's telling us that here, 2,000 years later, he is still the King of the Jews. He is still King of Kings. And so Pilate was writing it in a way that it was never going to not be true. Isn't that amazing? It is always true. It was true then. It is true today. It was true when he hung the stars and the planets. It is true today. And he is still working as King of our lives today. Now, interesting thing, when you keep reading, when Pilate responds, when they come to him and say, well, no, Pilate. Right, he said he is King of the Jews. Pilate's response, what I have written, I have written. Listen to this. Those words were given to us in the perfect tense. Okay, Ken, what the heck does that mean? Well, let me tell you, good question. It means that what I have written can never be changed. Think about that. That means he's always going to be King of the Jews. He cannot not be King of the Jews. He is King of the Jews. He will be King of the Jews. And he forever and ever, amen, will be King of the Jews. So Pilate says, what I have written, I have written. It cannot be changed. It stands as it is. Why is that important? Glad you asked that question. Because every one of us, every single one of us, is writing our story. Every single one of us is writing our story every single day. And what you have written, you have written. And when you stand before the King, Jesus, Your story is what you are going to have to give an account for. What you have written, you have written. Now, here's the interesting thing. You, don't miss this, you can't change your story. But He can. Your story deserves hell as you write it. As He covers it, it doesn't. Only He is able to do that. Only Jesus can take a life that is consumed by sin, that is headed to hell, and redirect it to heaven. Only Jesus is able to do that. Why? Because He is the King. We're not. And so when Pilate said, "What I have written," he was letting us know that we are writing our story, and it cannot be changed in and of itself. It is the story as it plays out. But Jesus is able to cover it. He's the one that's able to make a difference. He is the one that is able to change the outcome of the story. Listen, the message of the cross is controversial. The message of the cross, in fact, when you keep reading through the Bible, you find over and over again, for example, 1 Corinthians 1 says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who perish. It's controversial all over the place. Think about it this way. Everywhere you go in America today, you can say praise Allah, you can say praise Buddha, you can say praise whatever, but if you say praise Jesus, you got a problem. What is the one instrument that they are forever trying to remove from government buildings, cemeteries, all over the place? It's the cross. Why? Because it's controversial. Why? Because it makes us face our story. It makes us look at ourselves in the shadow of the cross, and we realize without it, we're nothing. But with it, we overcome our story. Pilate didn't realize it that day, I don't believe. That when Jesus Christ was crucified and they put that signboard up that said He was King of the Jews, that He was saying indeed that He is the exalted King. Pilate meant it as a cruel joke, but he was writing the truth. He wrote more than he ever realized when he wrote, "Jesus is King of the Jews." Listen, the message of the cross is controversial. Let me give you another one. It also tells us that the cross is universal. Notice that the Bible says that where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, verse 20. Commonly believed, as I said, that He was crucified right along a public highway. And that meant that where everybody was going and everybody was walking by, they would be able to see this. And they saw the different languages, so it was clear they would be able to understand what they were reading. They'd be able to understand and see this saying that this is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But you know, think about this. Those languages that it was written in lets us know that Jesus crosses every single barrier that could ever be lifted. Realize there is no one that Jesus is not able to reach. When it's given to us in those three languages, letting us know culture and politics and religion, what He's trying to say and what He's trying to let us know is there is no one that is beyond the impact and the reach of the cross. There is no one that Jesus' blood cannot touch. There is no one that has gone too far, that is too far gone, that is too dark, that is too dirty, that is too sin-covered, that the blood of Jesus cannot reach them. That's what He's trying to let us know, that there is no one beyond the reach of the cross. Listen, in John 3:16 it said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In John chapter 4, when the woman at the well heard about Jesus, and He gave her a drink of water that would say that you would live forever, she went running back into the village and said, "Come and see a man who told me all the things that I ever did." And they came out, and they heard Jesus, and this is what they said: "Now we know that this man is the Christ, the Savior of the world." Do you see? There is no one that is beyond reach. You know, I love so many of the stories of the Bible that illustrate that very point. You know, we think about, you know, I was just quoted John 3:16, and Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, came to Jesus. The story ends and we're like, you know, okay, whatever happened to Nicodemus? Well, stick around over the next couple of weeks and you'll see, because it's Nicodemus that takes Jesus' body off the cross and buries him in Joseph's tomb. He's there at the end. So we know, we're told, John tells us that he became a follower of Jesus. I love the stories of the Bible. One of my favorites still is the one where the woman that had this blood disease, and it just racked her body, and it says she had exhausted everything she had trying to get well. And it tells the story that she's working her way through this, just these hundreds of people trying, and she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Ladies and gentlemen, some of us need to get on our faces and we need to reach out and we need to grab the hem of his garment, because there is power even there in the hem of the garment of Jesus. That's what this sign represents, that there is no one that is beyond being able to be reached by Jesus. You're not hopeless. You're not helpless. If there's anyone here today that really feels like that they've just gone too far, that there's just so much of life that is just piling in on them and they can't even begin to see up, let alone lift their head to look up, I want you to know you are not hopeless this morning, because the cross covers it all. Jesus is King of the Jews. But he's more than King of the Jews. He's the King of anyone and everyone that will come to him and receive him as their Savior. The cross is controversial. The cross is universal. But let me give you another one here. This is where it comes home, ladies and gentlemen. The cross is personal. And I want to get very personal with you for just a moment. I want you to think for a moment that it's just, you know, you and me. No one else, just individually. I'm sitting right across from each one of you individually and we're talking. I want you to think for a moment and understand that this cross, even though it was for public display, this cross, even though it was intended to shame and humiliate the one hanging on it, and it was intended to scare the stuffings out of those that walked by and saw this, and, you know, I don't want that to happen to me. It tells us that we can have a personal Savior. You see, this signboard was supposed to be placed listing the crime of the person that was being crucified. But when you read it, there's no crime mentioned. Pilate himself said, I find him guilty of nothing. It simply says, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Why? When Jesus died on the cross, he was not dying for crimes he had done. Not one sin could ever be pointed at him. Jesus never did anything that anyone could point at and say, you shouldn't have done that. In fact, Jesus himself asked the question, who convicts me of sin? Nobody could say a word. Now, let me get personal with you once more. I wouldn't stand up here and dare say that, because she's sitting right there. And she'd say, hey, let me give you a list. But they couldn't do that for Jesus. But at the conclusion of Scripture and of history, it is Jesus who is without sin. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. They have said of him, this man has done nothing amiss. Jesus wasn't dying on the cross for his sins. He was dying on the cross for my sin and for your sins. When we look at the cross and at that signboard, we with our eyes, we see this as Jesus, King of the Jews. But let me tell you something. Let me read you a verse. Colossians chapter 2. This is what God sees when he looked at that signboard. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Make your way over there. If anybody wants to get up and start dancing and shouting when I read this verse, it's fine, because it's one of those verses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us, and opposed to us and has taken it away, look at this, by nailing it to the cross. Now maybe my sanctified imagination just goes way too far. But ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what I think this signboard represents. That when they intended it to mock and to ridicule Jesus, and Pilate intended it to mock and ridicule the Jews, that this was just like God Himself was having that sign hung up there that said, all of your sin, all of your guilt, all of your debt, all of your obligation, I take it. Yours is paid in full. Man, now isn't that good? Now the next time you look at this thing here, I don't want you to see it as it says, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. I want you to look at it as saying, paid in full. Because that's what it ultimately is. That day, on the cross of Calvary, everything that was against us was nailed on that cross. Yet on that day at the cross of Calvary, when all of our sins were nailed on that cross, I praise God that the Bible tells us that God blotted it out. He blotted out everything that was against us. Our sins have been removed because they were laid upon Him. That makes Him, here it is, a personal Savior. In Luke 23, we read about one of those men that were hanging there on either side of Jesus. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Kingdom? Here's a man dying on the cross, and yet this thief is saying, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I can't help but think that he looked up and he saw that sign that said, King of the Jews. And so he just said, when you come in your kingdom, I want you to remember me. That little one line, that little statement that Jesus makes next, today you will be with me in paradise. That signboard became a roadmap to heaven for that thief dying on the cross next to Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a roadmap for us as well, because it tells us that this is our way to heaven. Remember what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How did Jesus get back to the Father? He went through the cross. How do we get to the Father? We go through the cross. No matter what this world tells us, no matter what offer is made, there is one thing that is true that has never been lost in translation throughout all the years and millennia of time. It is still the cross that brings salvation to us. Now, that thief, I can't help but think about him. He was right, you know, think about this. He was right on the edge of eternity. Probably when he uttered those words, he was seconds from passing out into a godless eternity. And he looked up and saw that sign. Maybe it's one of you. There could be someone sitting here that's just moments away from passing out into eternity. And maybe this morning you're here because you need to look up and see this sign and know that that is your roadmap. That is your way. I heard Jerry Vines one time, he said that sign became a tract for that thief dying on the cross. So maybe that's what it needs to be for you. I'm handing you a tract. Here it is. Here's your sign. Maybe it's you that needs it this morning. And you know, not just for salvation, though that is ultimately the most important response you can give, is that if you've never made your way to the cross for forgiveness of your sin, then maybe this morning, let me meet you at the cross. But maybe you have felt overwhelmed. Maybe you have felt like, I can't even begin to see the daylight because there's too much garbage in the way. Well, this morning, this sign is pointing the way to show you the hope that is there for you. Jesus isn't just for those that are dying. He's for those who are living. And He wants you to live with the fullness of joy by meeting Him at the cross. Every head bowed, every eye closed. So, let's think about that for a moment this morning. The cross is controversial. I mean, let's face it. It is the one sign in this world that more people are opposed to and trying to get blotted out than anything else, it seems. It's because it still is leading people home. I did a funeral several years ago for this lady. A church had just called and both pastors were out of town, and they asked if I could come and do this elderly saint's funeral. I didn't know her. So I went and met with the family, and I just began to ask. I said, "Have you got any stories you can tell me about her, or anything just interesting that I could share since I don't know her?" And I never will forget. The daughter said, "Well," she said, "there's one thing that's always stuck out with me about Mom." I said, "She used to tell when she was really getting too old to be driving, and sometimes she'd get turned around and she wouldn't be able to find her way back home. She always would begin to look up over the tree lines because the church had a cross on top of the steeple. And she would always tell me, 'I had gotten lost, but I looked up and saw the cross and it led me home.'" Because she lived right behind the church. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the message for us today. Just look to the cross and it will lead you home. For whatever you have this morning that you're in need of, forgiveness, whether it's hope, encouragement, whether it's just that sense of grace that brings peace to your heart, I want you to know that's what this sign was intended by God for us. Regardless of what Pilate intended it for, God meant it as a message to a world that was in need of a Savior. And that's the message for us this morning. Father, You know every heart in this place. You know every need, every concern, every burden they carry. And Father, I pray that all of us this morning will be looking up to the cross to guide us home. And so, Father, whatever decision anyone needs to make this morning, I pray that You will give them the courage and the boldness to make that decision and make their step towards You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank You, we praise You, we love You today because, Lord, we know You first loved us. We thank You, Lord, for the fact that we can always, always look to the cross and know that we can find the hope as well as the help that we need there. And Lord, it's all because of the great love that You have for us. And Lord, we don't always understand. It's hard to even begin to imagine what that moment in time had to be like for You. But Father, we're so grateful that, Lord, as You prayed in the garden, that Your hour had come to be glorified. And as Peter stepped up and attempted to prevent it from happening, You looked at him and said, "Peter, do you not know this must take place?" Why did it have to take place? Father, it was because that was the plan that would bring us back to You. And so, Lord, we are so grateful that we can celebrate this season, knowing that we are not celebrating a dead Savior, but a living Lord. And so, Father, help us to always, always see Jesus. Lord, we pray Your blessings upon us now as we leave this place, and we look forward to coming together again at the next time. Lord, we just pray that You continue to write the record of Your love upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.